Benjamin Creme had said at one point that it only took 8 short years from 2001 to 2008 for America to go from a relative democracy to a near fascist state from which we have yet to recover.
People have to realize that the disparities are too great, that this dissatisfaction of people is widespread, and it's dangerous. It's actually, it leads to what we're seeing often, you know, people who are spiritually starved, who resort to unthinkable acts and risk the lives of so many people, even children. So it's important for our survival on the planet that we act, that we change the world so that it fits. Even if you want to think of fitting the new energies that are coming in from that huge constellation neighborhood of Aquarius, and those energies are impacting our lives. We can no longer stay separate, you know. The survival of the fittest is going away. It's going to be the survival of all of us together, or none of us.
Mr. Creme had said that here in America, we have deified freedom. We've elevated it almost to something to worship. And that's now out of balance, out of proportion. Because when you think about it, if you take away someone's money in America, how free are they? It's apparent very quickly this is not a free country, as much as we deify freedom. You're paralyzed. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, David Minot II. Now, we've all heard the call to assist our beleaguered world and our brethren in need. In this episode, we'll explore how your participation in demonstrations, marches, protests, and actions of all kinds related to that can help save the world. If you've been watching the news, you know this is already happening all around the world. Now, some countries are more adept at it than others. The French will demonstrate at the drop of a hat almost. And the United States, we're lagging behind. If you look at something like the 2004 and 2000 presidential elections, we practically took the theft of those two elections lying down. But what a difference a couple of decades makes. America is starting to awaken. And worldwide, we're seeing the largest demonstrations in the history of humanity. And those are happening right now as we speak. I've always said that the best antidote for anxiety is action. So let's act and march right into the subject and topic for this episode, alongside our guest, Yvonne Lewis. Now, Yvonne has lectured to live audiences as well as on the internet in regards to the ageless wisdom teachings and the writings of Benjamin Creme. The ageless wisdom teaching is that vast body of knowledge that seems to underlie everything about our culture and civilization today. And Benjamin Creme is that author, artist, esotericist, and futurist who Yvonne is going to tell us more about. This episode is the first in our series on Benjamin Creme's books in light of this world situation. And we'll explain that all further in detail during this episode. But first, we want to welcome Yvonne. Yvonne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David, for having me. In our discussion today, we're going to try to look deeply into the understanding that our participation is essential in what is going on in the world today. We tend to want to sit back and have a a good thought or focus on our meditation and our study. But at this time in the world, we're asked to step forward and participate in what's happening, as well as provide the understanding of the backstory, as I say, the tremendous energies that are supporting this work in the world. So we're going to look at where important calls to act can be found in the Ageless Wisdom teaching literature, and where marches are considered to be acts of service. That development of detachment is important when the soul seeks to serve. We're all souls in incarnation. And at some point, we come to that point where the soul has enough control of the personality, as we would think, that inner oneness is be able to act in outer life, that we can serve. So also that the involvement in marches is an ideal way to gain detachment. And that when a person decides to do something about any world problem or many of them, to get involved in the solution of those problems, then the first step in detachment is taken. I was online one day and I saw an amazing picture, a radiant being, a man in white, who was talking to thousands of people in Africa. And as David mentioned, I referred to the Ageless Wisdom teachings, the tradition of Helena Blavatsky, of Helena Rorick, of Alice Bailey, and most recently of Benjamin Krim, to find out what is this? Who is this man in Africa? Why Africa was another question that I wanted to answer for myself. And so I discovered through Benjamin Krim's work that the personal name of the man I saw is Maitreya. He's been assigned the task in this new time as the teacher of all. He is the head of an established group of perfected beings, human beings, who are in their position ahead of us in evolution. They've moved ahead of us because they've been on the planet longer, and they've turned back to help us. Maitreya said, "From the heart of man has arisen a cry for help. It is to that cry I have responded." Maitreya's coming is about world change in this time, a change in our understanding of the needs of the planet to restore environmental balance, and for economic change, so that the needs of all people are met. That's critical for our survival. Maitreya also said, "I need helpers. I seek to place before you a chance to grow and serve. My public work proceeds. I plan from day to day and watch carefully people's response. In this way, the rhythm of my emergence is set, and so you see how your work influences my plan."
I see, Yvonne. And why are these changes needed that people are demanding across the globe?
Well, David, the energies of the Aquarian age, which we're moving into, require it. They bring us all together, all people in the world, together as one human family, so that everyone has adequate food, good, clean water, shelter, that is proper and appropriate, clothing, and have medical services, have a social safety net, and education as a birthright. So that gives everyone a chance to have freedom, justice, and peace throughout their lives. These changes will take place through the raised voice of the people. That's what the demonstrations and marches and protests that you refer to are showing, that all of the inadequacies are being addressed by people now.
People power, the new world superpower, as we've called it so many times, Yvonne. And so how can the raised voice of the people be enhanced?
Well, people are a tremendous force for good. And we can enhance and raise this voice of the people by joining them. The millions of right-thinking, like-minded people are available for us to contribute and help to create an invincible force for good. The people standing together is a solution to problems. When you see it happen, when you see hundreds of millions of people all over the world, hundreds of millions in spots all over the world, you will experience the result of that. You can imagine it from our understanding of past protest movements and how effective they were. In particular, India's gaining independence from Britain. So that was a tremendous force of peaceful protests which worked. So we're in that arena. All of these things that have happened so far have created a stage, have set a stage for us to follow through on. These people will be protesting all different ideas. We've gone through them, women's justice, racial justice, land defenders, water defenders, all of the anti-war, all of these together are in total talking about peace. They're talking about freedom. They're talking about justice for all levels of society. So when you're among them, when you've joined these vast protests that are peaceful, and we've organized to the point where we have set in parameters so that they remain peaceful, you tell them what you believe. You tell them your experience. You help them understand how Maitreya's presence and help is effective at this time, how it's working in these protests.
So from what you're telling me, Yvonne, it would seem that the hearts and minds of the people are basically sound. The only parties that seem to be a bit in question are the politicians. Not all of the politicians. There are some forward-thinking ones, but they're the ones who are often looking out for themselves rather than the people. But we do seem to have a new crop of young people and older people alike who are more enlightened coming into political office. And this is a hopeful sign for humanity. So bearing that all in mind, how would sustained and massive worldwide protests work as a field of service for humanity?
It's so important, David, what you are saying, that, there's a saying that we might want to use, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So this is the time we're in. We're a padlock by authoritarian countries could be put on the First Amendment rights in our country, but on the rights of everyone all over. So we have to start, we have to act and grow these protests very quickly. We've delayed and dragged our feet, as I say, for too long. And this is a dramatic field of service. And when someone chooses to tread the path of light, one of the efforts involved, along with study and meditation, is a field of service. So at this time, an extraordinary opportunity is available to us. Everyone, not just some people, but to every person, to serve the world, clearing the way, making the effort to change things.
And you remind me of that quote, which someone much wiser than I had said not so long ago, that nothing happens by itself. Mankind must act and implement his will. That seems to be the essence of what you're stating here today. So, how would involvement in protests help mankind develop honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and above all, detachment?
Yes, marches are inspired by Maitreya, who teaches honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment as part of the path to self-realization. So when you are honest, you say what you think. When you are sincere, you're being yourself. And when you are detached, you're able to focus on the task at hand. You're able to assume and enjoy calmness with a reduction of strong emotions. You're able to enjoy calmness with a minimum personal feelings. And you're able to be objective. Detachment smooths out the sense of overwhelm in such situations and allows one to carry out the necessary work. For example, doctors, all medical personnel in a hospital are able to be objective and treat even the most badly injured people with detachment so that they can promote their healing. Benjamin Krem says that if you put the process of gaining detachment to practice, you will go far in your achievement.
Well, that's something I know I need to work on, and I'll bet a lot of our audience needs assistance with that too. You made me think, I took some notes of some thoughts that are almost cliches at this point. One of them being to reminding people to be themselves because everyone else is taken. And the other one was, of course, we've all heard, when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you've said. And I've also heard it predicted that probably within a couple hundred years, maybe as many as 300 years, I'm not certain, most of mankind will be able to practice telepathy on a regular basis. And with that, it'll be pretty hard to be dishonest and to tell lies. So the practices that you're mentioning, honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment, we would do well to start practicing now. So I'm wondering, how would all of this fit in with my personal altruistic goals?
Indeed, David. You know, the most important service is to implement sharing, to create justice, to create peace, to create unity and synthesis in this new time. So what we have to do is create and use correct, harmonious relationships. Realize that we are all one human race, and the differences in color, religion, nationality are not important. We must make friends with everyone. Everyone is our friend, and we have to begin to live life that way.
Yes, some of the crises today that humanity is facing, Yvonne, help point to this process. For instance, the whole trauma and the upset to the world, the sort of earth-shaking disruptions to people's personal lives that occur when they have to become refugees, would remind us that humanity is one family, one big family, and that we should treat the stranger at our door as family, because they're really not a stranger. In the deepest sense, they are us. And until we can look into the eyes of others and see ourselves, this is going to be a problem. And of course, it brings up the whole notion too, Ivan, of reincarnation. I may be American and white in this lifetime. Next lifetime, I could be Russian, Chinese, Thai, Nigerian. Make friends with them now. So that is true for all of us. So what kind of help will Maitreya, who we mentioned in passing, and the Masters of Wisdom give us in this regard? In other words, humanity's elder brothers, how will they help us achieve these goals, which they've already marked as part of their character?
Well, David, I just wanted to join with you in the idea that even in popular genetic testing, it's people find, and they may not want to reveal it, but they find that they have fabrics of other groups in their genetic, framework or genetic, makeup. And as to your question, it's such an important question. Maitreya, if you can imagine, attends every major march, every major protest, every major demonstration. He's there for part of the time. And so the voice of the people of all nations rising up through this influence, inspired by Maitreya, led by him, activated by him, this united will of the people will force governments to change. Every action that we take towards oneness, towards freedom, towards peace, will invoke Maitreya's help and energy. You know, he will even boost our actions to the extent that the changes will proceed with enormous speed and order.
Well, that should be a source of comfort to us all. And you remind me, Ivan, of an experience of my own during a march. It was a march against the Iraq War in New York City in 2005. And I had traveled there with a friend from Boston, at least one friend, and met up with a person of like mind in New York City. I had some flyers to hand out about this subject and about the world teacher Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. Well, I was supposed to bring the posters with me and neglected to, but not coincidentally, this woman I met in the crowd had the very flyers I was supposed to bring. And she handed them to me and requested that I begin to distribute them. And I paused, thinking to myself in the quiet of my own mind, I hand these out. This subject, this esoteric subject, people are going to think I'm a flake. Do I really need to do this? And at that moment, someone appeared in the crowd. This crowd was bottlenecked, so we were really not moving at this point. Pretty tightly packed. And this person approached from, I guess that would be, 10 o'clock? And, or 2 o'clock, rather. And moved rapidly through the crowd And I'm staring at this person wondering, how can they do that? And yet my mind was sort of blank. And they had long hair and sort of a hippie-like attire. And when they got close to me, I was holding the flyers at an angle, and this person could not see, therefore, what was written on them. And yet he reached over the flyers with his hand and put his finger on the most important word on the flyer, looked him in the eye, and said one word, yes. And then he disappeared at, I guess that's 2 o'clock. Just as quickly as he had came through this densely packed, barely moving, pretty much standstill crowd. And it wasn't until he was gone that I found that I was able to speak again. And so I turned to the woman next to me, who was also aware of this emergence of the world teacher Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom and the Aegis Wisdom teaching writings that you have referenced, Yvonne. And I said to her, well, what do you think? And she said, I don't know. Ask Ben. She was referring to Benjamin Krem and the yearly lectures he would hold in New York City. So then I turned to my friend from Boston on the right and said, you may have just had your first Maitreya experience. And it just so happens that I guess it was the following year that at one of those conferences, I did write down the question, and it was handed to Mr. Krem, which he answered along with many other questions. And he confirmed, yes, that was Maitreya. And it also showed up in the magazine Share International. And this happens every day to a lot of people all over the world. I'm not unique in that regard. And you've probably met one of the masters in person yourself, Yvonne, more than once, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it's true, David. Because they're present, they're interested, you know, there's a plan that includes us. So they show up not in any kind of intrusive way, but simply as a fun person in the crowd, the same crowd you're in. So I, you know, it's something just to know. I felt the energies in a protest. I didn't see a person that I would think might be Maitreya. I also had an experience like you in the most recent protest I participated in, a climate strike in Chicago. And at that protest, I had flyers in my hand, but the energy of the protest was not the same as another protest I attended back in 2003 about anti-war. In this 2019 protest, the energy was one of will, determination. And to me, you know, I wish I had had the support that you had at that time, but I just couldn't seem to interrupt these very young people who were so intensely determined about the future because of the climate disaster that we're experiencing, that they were really like an army, as Maitreya has said in some of his messages. They were so very focused on their goal. And so all of these experiences are dramatic. They're interesting, but they're gentle and peaceful and loving.
That's a really good point, Yvonne. I wanted to speak to that because it has been said that the energy of the world teacher Maitreya and his group, the Masters of Wisdom, humanity's elder brothers, as we have said, are present at all of these major demonstrations or protests or marches or actions, however we want to categorize them. And so a subject like global warming or war or ending hunger, affordable education for all, and, you know, cleaning up the environment, these are all very serious subjects. And yet, if you look at the people around you, they're really rather joyous, upbeat, happy, and not maudlin or depressed, but they are, as you pointed out, passionate too. And this is a curious phenomena that I'm not sure everyone has taken note of, how joyous a march about such a serious subject can be. And there was also, I'm thinking, looking at my notes here, of that anti-war protest in London, in Hyde Park, I think it was, back in 2003, when it is said that a familiar, or a sort of a thought form, manifested as a person of Maitreya, was present as an Afro-Cuban man, and he was yelling joyously at the protesters, telling them, you know, show out the lies, and exclaiming how happy he was that they were out in the street and speaking their minds and their hearts against war and making their power and their presence felt. And this must occur all over the world all the time. I wish we could get a recording of each of these and compile them, and perhaps someday someone will.
There was a recording of on CNN, I think, in Tahrir Square, of a man riding a white horse, and it went across the screen. I think many people saw it. I remember seeing that, an individual who was present. And also, when photographs are taken, you know, the cameras and the photographs, at a large gathering in the Middle East, men who were dancing, there was a being in the clothing of light dancing among them, and that was shown. So there are all sorts of miraculous indications that our experiences are true for many people across the world. And I think in particular, in 1988, when Maitreya appeared first in Africa, it was said by Benjamin Krim that he appeared in Africa first because of the character of the African people, and that they would welcome him. And that was important in his choice.
Yes, and I had forgotten about Tahrir Square, and I've seen that clip as well. And I know that Mr. Krim had said in the pages of Share International magazine, I believe, that Maitreya was in the square, spent a lot of time there talking to the young people about ways to handle this conflict. And yes, I saw the clip too from the Mideast. And that also reminded me, I had to take notes here because I couldn't remember everything you had said, that Mr. Krim had also stated that Africa would probably be the first continent, or one of the first continents on the planet, to respond first to the reemergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom, back into the world after a 98,000 year absence. And that must be why the appearance that you pointed out happened in Nairobi, Kenya, and not in LA or Chicago or New York. It's been said too that, again, the United States will lag behind some of the other countries of the world, or continents in this case, of Africa, in recognizing the emergence of these great beings. And I'm thinking too, now, since we're continuing our exploration of this topic, aren't there enough protests going on in the world now?
It's true that the voice of the people is gaining ground, but the spiritual teachers say we must make it louder. We must create a reliable vehicle, an articulate mass, a informed, educated world public opinion for peace, justice, and freedom against which no country can stand. That's our goal. Peacefully, peacefully. And nothing less will do, they say. I wanted to share with you a Benjamin Krem's book, The Awakening of Humanity. May I read you an excerpt?
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
These are Benjamin Krem's words. In a question and answer period, he said, yes, we have to do it. We have to make the changes. Man must act and implement his will. We cannot just sit back and let somebody else do it. If we want change, we have to do it. We have to call for change, march, organize, do everything legal to bring our desire for change to the notice of those who can produce change. Here is an opportunity for anyone to lead the way, to call for change, start the call for justice and freedom for all. Why don't you, is what he said. Why don't you? He said, go out marching with banners calling for peace, justice, and freedom in the world. That is the only way it will take place. It may be inspired by Maitreya. His energy will help bring it into being, but we have to do it. We have to demand it.
And that's a wake-up call to a lot of us, including myself at times, when I get complacent and think, as so many of us often do, that visualizing it will help bring it about. But that's not enough, because that's just a dream state. And dreams are not reality. We need to make them reality. And as you pointed out, in order to do that, we have to go beyond thoughts and prayers and invocations. So these are certainly all helpful, and actually act. Get out on the streets and stay out there until change comes about. We have to be relentless. Mr. Krem had also said that in some areas of the world, you have a top-down form of government where it's a bit totalitarian and there's a single strong man who's backed up by the army and the police, and the people don't have a lot of say in what's going on in the country. And then we have other countries where people have a relative amount of freedom and don't speak out. So what we need to do is utilize that people power I referred to earlier and make these changes happen. Bennett said that, well, in those countries that I described sort of a single strongman in control, you know what the deal is. But what about countries in Europe and in Asia, South America, North America, and Africa, where people do have more of a say? What will the government do? I think he said that they'll either have to listen to the people or shoot them. And shooting them is completely unacceptable. Should be in any government, but particularly in a democratic state. So they know they can't do that. So if we get out in large enough numbers, they will have to change. And that's what we're in the business of doing right now.
As you said, the United States is positioned to lead the world in the functioning, the putting into practice the changes that are needed. And eventually it will. However, right now, authoritarian rule is taking over even in the United States, such that when people rise up to protest in certain areas of the country, they are considered to be trespassers, and they are considered to be, they're, you know, rightly considered to be trespassers, but then they're called domestic terrorists and they're arrested without bail. So these, we have to avoid these increasingly dramatic autocratic situations and take in our hands our fate, as it were, so that we can rise up with peaceful protesting as the way to go, rather than, as you said, controlling with police, you know, which is not really something our government does, but it's the action of the people who control our government, those who control the governments, that they want everything to stay the same, even though we're moving into a new time where the energies require us to come together. And so it is a necessity for us to join the other people in the world who are, preserving and changing things so that we can move into a better way of living. And I wanted to mention that the teacher for all, as we've said, his personal name is Maitreya, but he calls himself the teacher, says the recipe for change is sharing and brotherhood, justice and love. To my banner, I shall call those who would walk with me. Join my army, my friends and brothers and sisters, and cleanse this world of hate. Sharpen the sword of love, my brothers and sisters. Close your ranks around me, and valiantly together into the future, let us march. From its ashes shall arise the city of love, the temple of God. May you know and experience this to be true. I am with you always. There is little which you cannot accomplish if you only try. All is possible to people. Take your courage in your hands and bring about the achievement of your own soul's purpose and the joy of nearness to the Father.
Beautiful words, and very touching and moving and inspiring in context of the marches and demonstrations and actions that we are referencing. And I know that you spoke of that sort of creeping fascism which has arisen in America. And Benjamin Krem had said at one point that it only took 8 short years from 2001 to 2008 for America to go from a relative democracy to a near fascist state from which we have yet to recover. And some of the protests happening now and the response to them are indicative of that. Fascism not coming from the protesters, but from the authority figures. Think of the demonstrations against the Cop City, as it has been nicknamed, in Atlanta. Then this brings up the whole notion that the military and the police should be separate. And we've seen a militarization of the police, this creeping fascism that Mr. Krem referenced, in America, and people are rising up against that and saying, no, this money should not be going to arming the police with military weapons. It should be going to health care, housing, education, justice and equality initiatives, saving the environment, and fomenting world peace. And you also reminded me, too, I had to take some more notes of another quote from Maitreya when you mentioned the battle imagery. He said something about marching together, joining the army, marching into battle, euphemistically, not literally, eyes uplifted, banners flying, and that soon the clash of battle will be heard, not so much on the physical plane, but on the mental plane. This is a clash of ideas And as you pointed out earlier, our marches are peaceful. And that's the way we'll win, as you pointed out, as Gandhi did, and Martin Luther King, and so many others.
Well, there's so many wonderful pieces that you can find supporting this, we're thinking of it, quotes, new idea. And the idea that we need to have, you know, our tennis shoes on the ground and to be out with the people sharing the story, the background story of Maitreya's influence in the world. But there are so many beautiful, literal, sort of call to action that you'll find in Benjamin Krim's 17 books. And one of them is the messages from Maitreya, where he calls on us from the heart to act with him. He's only wanting, you know, the best for us, like an elder brother in the family who turns back to assist his brothers and sisters to move up. A revered professor at school who is your thesis counselor, who sees to it that you have everything you need to excel in your life.
Tom, I'd like to ask another question. And that would be, why can't we remain as we are, Yvonne? Why does mankind need so much to change at this time?
Well, David, it's an important question, but people have to realize that the disparities are too great. The dissatisfaction of people is widespread, and it's dangerous. It leads to what we're seeing often, you know, people who are spiritually starved, who resort to unthinkable acts and risk the lives of so many people, even children. So it's important for our survival on the planet that we act, that we change the world so that it fits. Even if you want to think of fitting the new energies that are coming in from that huge constellation neighborhood of Aquarius, and those energies are impacting our lives. We can no longer stay separate. You know, the survival of the fittest is going away. It's going to be the survival of all of us together or none of us. So we have to work together. We have to love one another. It's not easy, but it's doable. And there's help to do it. But in our talk today, we're talking about specific action, joining in the mass of people who can together, who are bigger than any challenge to their freedom. They are bigger than them. I mean, even if only 4 billion participate, we'll have enough people who want these changes, who are agreeing not to thwart the energies of Aquarius coming in, which would also be unpleasant. So we're required. It's like a cosmic magnet pulling us all together. And we'll work together. We'll achieve great things. All of the developments we might think of, artificial intelligence, will do all our work for us. And we'll have leisure for creative arts. Unthinkable, beautiful creations will come out of all of mankind. When you are born, you step on the planet, all of your needs are met, and you go on and live the life and contribute in the way you love, your passion you can express.
And let's bear in mind, too, that the AI that Benjamin Krem and the Masters of Wisdom are referring to is nothing like what we're envisioning now, which is child's play compared to that. It'll be much more advanced, and it won't be stealing people's jobs, but instead will allow people to have more leisure time and study such things as where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going, which at present is merely a dream to millions, if not billions, of people who are just scraping together a living today, day after day, year after year. And this is a crime that needs to end. And this is part of the reason our elder brothers are here. And you brought to mind something else. I had to take some more notes about violence in, for instance, in America today. Mr. Krem had said that here in America, we have deified freedom. We've elevated it almost to something to worship. And that's now out of balance, out of proportion. Because when you think about it, if you take away someone's money in America, how free are they? It's apparent very quickly this is not a free country. As much as we deify freedom, you're paralyzed. You can't have a place to live, anything to eat, you can't move about. And this is part of the reason Americans have such hair trigger tempers, because they know, perhaps unconsciously, that they aren't free, even though that's something we expound all the time. And rarely do we mention justice. So you add that unreal sense of freedom to some people that are mentally or emotionally unstable, and add that ready supply of guns in the U.S. and this cutthroat sense of competition of capitalism, of the American way of life, of commercialism, I should say, that would be more accurate, market forces, in two words, that pervades our economy and our consciousness, and which we have exported to the world. You put all those together, market forces, false sense of freedom, ready supply of guns, some people that are mentally unstable, and that's when people explode and shoot other people. Now, everyone flips from time to time, but they don't pick up a weapon and harm people. But in this atmosphere in America, it is happening far too often. So we have to address not only the obvious, gun control, but the not so obvious, the subtleties of freedom and justice for all, which we give lip service to, but we now must bring down to earth and make it a reality. Because this country has done great things, and it will do even greater things in the future. But we need to get a handle on this energy and instead channel that into what you've talked about, Yvonne, getting out in the streets and fomenting for positive and real change.
We have a great armor that's just a part of our being, and that is love. The soul is a reflection of the love of the Creator. And so as we step forward, we are surrounded by love. We are, filled with love. We are pervaded by love. There's just this energy that we are that is becoming manifest in the world. And so Benjamin Krem has spoken very clearly about how we are connected to the Creator through love. And that is our identity. And so anything other than that, we can let fall away and focus on that soul that we are, whose service is love, through love. So we serve with that idea of love, that everyone is ourselves, that we are all together in love. And eventually, as we work together, that opposite or fear, as you were talking about, David, will slip away. So love is the answer.
And the question and the answer. And with that, I'd like to thank you, Yvonne Lewis, for joining us again here at Planetary Makeover, and we hope to see you and all the audience again here soon.
Thank you, David.